that's exactly the best practice on how to approach some of these things, especially for people who are organizations that are more led by an editorial focused person, you know, somebody who came from the news side versus the revenue side. This is a perfect place for them to really dive in, because this is brainstorming at its best, right? You're not bringing something to sell to an advertiser, you are bringing them along as a partner. So you're going to sit down with them and say, what do we want to help our community do or know about? What's your focus? What's your passion? You know, what are some of the things that your business cares about? What do our audiences care about? Then you start to build a plan with them. Then you start getting some really interesting projects going. So it's business led, it's business supported, but certainly, you know, it's paid for by an organization. So it's a little different than philanthropy, but it's sort of in the same roots.
Yeah, I think it's the same house, at least.
It's the same house, right.
A different room down the hall, but it's fine. Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. With me today from Local Media Association is Julia Campbell, the Chief Business Transformation Officer. I had to look to make sure I got that right. I love the title.
Thank you. Yes. It's a lot of words and a lot of letters. So you gotta double check myself too.
Well, you know, look, first off, the name transformation is cool because it's always about change, and I like change. I don't like to be set. But also, as a kid of the 80s, it reminds me of Transformers, so I want to go play toys now.
Yes. Optimus Prime. I think we can do right. it. We'll turn local news into a Transformer. No problem.
I mean, if we could do that, I'd be okay. If we could do the news and play with toys, I mean, really, what's better?
Nothing would be better. Yeah. What kind of car do we want to be to start out is, I think, what we have to decide.
Right. Well, okay. So I have visions in my head with your title of, you know, transformation officer. Like, you know, you're gonna help people do the adjustments and find what their next iteration of their business is or their content. It's very grand in my head, but it fits so well with the theme of this podcast, of the show, really, which is how are we adjusting to the changing environment of the news landscape, right? Producing the news. So tell us a little bit, what actually are you doing with that title? And is it as grandiose as it is in my head?
I don't know if it's grandiose, but it's definitely a big title, because it's, you know, it's big challenges that we're facing, right? And so I think that the way we kind of approach that transformation topic is it's not necessarily like there's one person that's the expert. Like, I'm certainly not the expert in business transformation for local media, but the truth is that everybody has a little bit of expertise. And so I think that what we've seen with this type of position is, how do we bring the best of what everyone is doing together to help everybody transform a little bit? So I think that's what we really do at LMA, is how are we best positioning the best success stories, sustainable models, new ideas, new programs, and people who are just taking some risks. How do we help support them? And then how do we promote what they're doing? Making sure that everyone can see and hear the best ideas out in the industry. You know, what are the new things that are happening? How can we mimic those? How can we take some lessons and learn? And how do we help our own businesses transform? Whether you're a startup or whether you're the oldest legacy newspaper in the business, you know, there's something to be learned from all those organizations.
I love that, because basically what you're talking about is the great tool of R&D, which is Rob and Duplicate.
Yes.
it's a great approach to collaboration, though, which is look, I don't have to come up, reinvent the wheel. I don't have to come up with the newest idea. There are other people that are doing things. Let's find them and then make it so we can reproduce.
That's exactly right. And it's one of our big pillars is at LMA is collaboration. And it's mostly because not everyone's going to have all the answers. Even if you are the expert and you've built something beautiful and it is innovative and it is brilliant, you still don't have every answer for every stage and every life cycle of that project. So sometimes you need to collaborate with other people. So you need to look at things from a different viewpoint. And then how do you make it stronger, better, faster, because you're working with other folks? is something right. you really need to focus in on is you have a great idea, but you cannot go alone. You need to help, you know, start to bring others along with you or grab some ideas from some other folks and make it better.
So how much of your day, I'm curious, like, are you really just kind of mining, you know, reaching out to people, checking other people's websites, looking at their publications, listening to their things? You know, how much, I mean, is that a lot of your day just kind of mining for those new tools, new ideas?
It's a lot of the day, I would say, but a lot of it's just because we're running certain programs and that's where we get the best ideas. You know, we have a certain amount of labs and collaborative groups at LMA. You know, you might have heard of Word in Black and News is Out are our two topic focused collaboratives that are nationally based that are, you know, housed within legacy media organizations. We have another lab called that's focused on family and independent media. Lots of great ideas happening with those 11 organizations that are in that lab now is those are family owned businesses. Those have been around for decades and they are building beautiful and innovative things. And so that's I think where we spend a lot of time is just spending deep dives with a lot of these groups that are brought together because of some sort of lab or some sort of focus or some sort of effort that they're doing together. And that's where we're really getting a lot of sharing and learning. And then, you know, what can we learn from that?
For those that are not part of LMA that haven't joined you yet, and we'll let you get to where you can tell people how to join. Yeah. But I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about those labs, and like I'm curious what your approach is there, and what you're trying to set up so that you get people together to have that interaction.
You know, and one thing about LMA too is you know, we're a nonprofit organization, so we are open to everyone. So a lot of these labs and things, you don't necessarily always have to be a member, but there's a ton of member benefits, obviously. But that's something that we try to make as many things as open to everybody who's interested as possible. You know, a lot of them have some sort of application program or some sort of criteria to be part of them, and then others don't. You know, the Branded Content Project that I run as well is a great example of something that is open to everyone. So it's as simple as signing up for some of those newsletters and just hearing about what's going on and finding the opportunities that are open to everyone, because there's a lot of them out there. And from the LMA standpoint, how are we collaborating with other member organizations to help, you know, kind of collaborate on our own firepower, right? So, you know, what can we do with other media companies? What could we do with other associations like Local Media Consortium and Lion and some of the others?
What are some of those collaborative groups that you formed that are really kind of, I mean, can you tell us a little about a couple of them that are maybe really starting to build an audience, you know, build collaboration?
The best example I think we have right now, or at least it's the one that we've been doing the longest is Word in Black. That is a collaboration of 10 legendary Black press organizations. They've all been working together on and off for decades. They've known each other. They came together right after George Floyd. So I think 2020 is when they came together to form this group of the 10 publications and to create a national platform to talk about, you know, content issues that affect their communities. But the interesting part is they came together, obviously content's first when these collaborators come together, but they've come together in a business way too. We do a lot of branded content, a lot of shared philanthropic types of programs with Word in Black, and they have actually grown so much they've just become a public benefit corporation as of January 1st. So they're That's their own awesome. Business now. It is awesome. It's an awesome model. It's great.
Are there some other examples you can toss out for us?
Yeah, so Word in Black is one. We've got another group of six LGBTQ publications that have come together called News is Out. We have a couple of location-based collaboratives. There's one at Oklahoma Media Center and a few others. And that's on the collaborative side. So those are media companies that come together to collaborate for content and business reasons. But then, you know, there's all sorts of other types of collaboratives that come together. There's the philanthropy lab that I know you talked with Frank on the LMA team about those types of labs. So those are other types of collaborative efforts. The family lab that I mentioned too. So these are not necessarily content-based. It's more about learning and sharing. They come together because of a grant that is funded in some way to bring these types of people together to learn from each other.
That was going to be my next thing was, are you mostly focusing on content side of things, or are you really trying to create group, you know, collaborative groups for all parts of the business?
So the interesting part about LMA is their focus is business transformation.
Right.
It always has been. So some of these newer content efforts that they've been involved with are definitely new for the organization. So our main focus is always to bring people together to help their business become more sustainable. That's always been our focus. So that's always first and foremost. And then it's sometimes you realize that the content has to come along with that. That's part of the business model that works. So how can we help in all ways to make sure that they're creating a transformation for their business to a digital platform or whatever it is that they need in that instance?
This has come up a lot, and I want to say a lot more recently than it has, because it sporadically has come up as we've done the show now in our third season. Though that we are better, and I say we as an industry, the royal we here, yeah, we are better now at realizing the business and the content have to work hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And we not only does it, you know, give us the revenue sustainability, but it's helping our product too.
Absolutely.
By meshing those more effectively and cleaner than we have, you know, than the brick wall of the past, that we're better for it.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, over time we realize that these things do have to work together, and there can't be such a giant firewall. My favorite project that I do is branded content. And that is exactly that, right? That is bringing the editorial concept together with the business side and helping businesses grow. That's really what local media organizations do best, right? They do three things. They create content, education, information, where people want it, when they want it. They help businesses grow. And the third thing is that they speak for those who can't speak for themselves. So they work with nonprofit communities and those organizations in their communities that need help. So when you mix those three things, that's when you have something powerful. That's what we're seeing a lot with branded content efforts, is how are we bringing businesses together with the content side to help us fuel more information for our communities. So it becomes powerful when you kind of cross the lines rather than keeping them separate.
We have, and I'm glad you brought up branded content there, because I do want to switch over to that a little bit. We've had a few episodes where we've talked about branded content, and to me it's kind of like the AI conversation, where it can mean a million things, right? Like there are so many tools, so many approaches. So I'm gonna start with you. When you say you love working with branded content, and that's a you know, a focus area for you as you help, you know, work with news organizations, What are you thinking of? Like, what is in your head when you think branded content?
So it's such a broad definition.
Right.
it's huge, right? And it seems like, oh, is that the new shiny object? And it's absolutely not. It's the same thing we've been doing for 100 years. You know, branded content has been around in some form or fashion, you know, whether you call it sponsored content, advertorial, you know, lifestyle shows on the broadcast side. Like, these things have been around for decades. And the reason they've been around for so long is because they work. They're effective for businesses. They're great for the audiences because you're providing information, education, and it's a revenue driver. And it's a revenue driver in a good way, where that advertisement is content-based. So it really feeds all the different needs of an organization. You know, we have a project. I mentioned the branded content project. It's a joint collaboration between LMA and Local Media Consortium. You know, we've been funded by Meta for a few years with the goal of that this is a revenue stream that everyone needs to have as part of their business model. This is the perfect mix of business planning, advertising for the clients that they work with, but also content for those audiences. So this is the sweet spot where local media can really excel. And that's why we're seeing so many folks, you know, really either taking a turn back to it if they abandoned somewhere in the past, or they're growing what they've already been doing for a long time. There's a lot of opportunity.
Are you more focused on helping organizations, you know, create their own? Are you focused on distribution of things like that? Like, where is your focus and approach to being of service?
Yeah, we do all of it. So we are focused on helping the sales folks figure out how to better sell this, how to, you know, prospect, package branded content efforts up for their advertisers. We do work a lot on the content creation side. You know, how do we help create better content? How do we measure that content? How are we distributing the content? Because certainly just dropping some things on a website and hoping someone finds it is not also a super great business model. Like, how are you? Great. Well, that's awesome that you paid me for that, but no one saw it. So how are we going to drive some more traffic to those articles? Like, how do we really help people find a distribution plan? Because, you know, that's what local media is. They're an audience, right? So we don't, you know, I always say we don't sell content, we sell audience. And that's wise that local media companies have the audience. So how do you, you know, better formalize something for your distribution plan? So we help them with that. We help with any other sticky points that come up. We focus a lot on the education. So we're, you know, whether it's a sales team or a content studio or, you know, anybody else in the organization, like how can we help you do this better is really our goal.
Yeah, I think that education part of it is important. I'm curious how you talk to people about the approach, especially those that either haven't done it or haven't done it in a long time, because, you know, we all go through our cycles of what we do to keep things going, right? And we leave things, you know, we pivot and then we forget.
It's like, oh, that's why we did that. It was awesome.
But I mean, so what is, you know, kind of how are you talking to people about, you know, about approaching this and setting up so that they can go bring it in? Because I think for a lot of people, it's still, it's either foreign or, you know, verboten for some on the content side, right? You know, so how are you kind of doing that, that education process?
So we have a few different things that we've, you know, we've been doing the Branded Content Project now for about 5 years. So we have a variety of different things that work for different people. You know, obviously we do the big webinars every month that bring in speakers. You know, the best way to help educate is to show off people who are doing it well. So we spend a lot of time, you know, how do we bring people in that that are doing this well and showcase them in order for others to learn. We have certificate programs that are easy self-service type of training. So, you know, grab a cup of coffee, sit down, watch some videos, take some quizzes, and you get your branded badge at the end. So we have something that's really easy, turnkey, take things on your own time. And then really, truly, like,
who doesn't love a good badge or something?
Who doesn't love a branded badge, right? You get a little certificate. It's awesome. Yeah, everybody needs that. So, you know, post it on LinkedIn. It's fun. it's good times. But you know, the big thing for us is almost, you know, eating our own cooking, right? So we need to create content that educates. So we write a lot of case studies. We do a lot of research with folks like Burrell or Magid. You know, how do we do provide some of those tangible pieces that people can pass on to their sales team? So whether it's video series, we have something called the Crash Course that we're in the middle of building right now. That people can take with them and send it to the people in their organizations that need it the most. So we know that in order, you know, everyone's incredibly busy. They have a million things to do every day. So we need to meet them wherever they are on the training side. It might be a big call. It might be a workshop. It might be a boot camp that we're hosting. But it might just be a weekly video that they can send to the sales team.
Do you find that people are, you know, you said meet them where they are. Are you finding that just everybody's at every part of that process and timeline?
Absolutely, they are. You know, some people want us to come to them. Like, so it's like, I need you to join my sales call. And we do those types of trainings too, which are pretty effective because then you can customize it to their team and their own unique situation. But some folks, they just, you know, they don't have time to come to a boot camp, you know, each week, or they may miss a call or two and they need to do it, you know, on their own schedule. So you got to have everything that's accessible all the time and just make sure you're passing it to them wherever they live.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. I'm curious what a branded content bootcamp looks like.
Oh, the boot camps are fun. It's not terrible amounts of work. There's homework, but it's not bad. It's usually, you know, a few weeks we tackle a topic. We've done advertiser-based topics. So it's like we did an entire boot camp on just selling to cannabis advertisers, for example. We did another boot camp on healthcare.
Well, look, why not? There are so many states. And I'm out of Missouri, so we're a year and a half in now to to recreation legalizing recreational. I mean, why not?
I know. I'm in Colorado, so it's obviously been around here for a long, long time.
How are you talking to people about approaching that? I mean, because there's so many angles and different things, you know, perspectives going in on it. Well, you know, even get past the should we, shouldn't we? How are you talking to people about approaching that industry?
So it's an interesting industry, especially because it's one industry where they have some limitations on the way they can advertise. There's a lot of things they can't do. And so we found for cannabis advertisers, cannabis businesses, they can advertise through content. They have a very big need, especially as they're coming into a state to educate people on how the process is going to work, what's available, how, you know, what do I need to know? So that's something that's been very appealing to a lot of cannabis advertisers is I need an education plan to be able to differentiate myself from the millions of businesses that are going to pop up instantly. And then how do I make sure the customers know, you know, how this is going to work as it becomes new in the state? And then, you know, just kind of keeping that, that name recognition going too. So, content has been very popular for cannabis businesses.
I would guess so. And it, I think it's great that you're kind of helping figure out the rules and how to go around it and what, you know, what you can and can't do. I think that's a big fear for a lot of people is I'm not sure what's allowed.
Right.
Every state's different.
It is. It is. And one thing that we've done at the Branded Content Project to make that specific space a little easier is we actually created our own content series that people can resell. So that way the publishers don't have to necessarily worry, you know, like, I don't know how to build this type of content. Like we've actually had partnered with a brand studio to make that available to people to take a little bit of the scary out for the media companies too. So something that's turnkey and take this out to your advertisers. So that's been pretty effective too.
What have the success stories been like? I mean, you know, you just said like, we've got to spend some time telling people about the success stories and this is why we do it. You know, this is a thing that can be repeatable, that is sustainable. What are some of those success stories?
Oh, we've got so many and all across the board on who is successful. So it doesn't matter if you're the biggest broadcaster in the country or if you are the smallest startup in a two-person operation. So we've got a success story for you. You know, we've seen, you know, one of my favorite topics and one of the areas where I see the most growth and it's definitely a success story is in cause marketing and corporate social responsibility. So one of the success stories I always talk about is something they built at the Dallas Morning News. It's a product called Forward DFW. It is a cause marketing corporate social responsibility platform. So they brought together a few founding advertisers, you know, Toyota, Frito-Lay, Baylor Scott & White, a few others to build this program a few years back with the goal of not talking about potato chips or cars. We're going to talk about what they're doing for the Dallas community and how they're moving Dallas forward together. So that is one of my favorite success stories because it's something that I feel every local media company should do. Everyone in the crowd is rolling their eyes that have heard me speak at anything because I know I bring that example up every single time because I want every single person to be doing it in some way. So you know, that's one side of success story. You know, we've got other examples. Seattle Medium is a black press paper that we work with up in Seattle. He's been making hundreds of thousands of dollars selling branded content series that are really more sponsorship. We just ran a case study about his success, Chris Bennett up there in Seattle. He's made over $1 million in branded content since he started a few years ago by selling sponsorships around series. So great strategy, just keeps duplicating it and bring it to new clients. And it's been very successful. So there's more success stories than failures, but you know we learn from the failures too.
Absolutely. And I love the, I actually like your focus that you keep going back to the cause marketing.
Yes.
Content wise, it's kind of back to our roots. It's what we, you know, even the most cynical old school journalist, that's why they do it is they want to make a difference. But also I think it's proven. And as somebody who the worst part of my worst skill as the owner of a publication, I'm bad at sales. I don't like doing it. It's
hard.
It's very hard for me. Whereas, you know, I have colleagues and friends that just whatever, you just go do it. But I have found it's very easy for me to sit down with businesses and business owners in the area that I cover and talk to them about causes and talk to them about, you know, nonprofits they want to support or things they want to get behind. And then it is so much easier to get them financially behind it as well too, because we're all after the same end goal.
That's right. And that's exactly the best practice on how to approach some of these things, especially for people who are organizations that are more led by an editorial focused person, you know, somebody who came from the news side versus the revenue side. This is a perfect place for them to really dive in because this is brainstorming at its best, right? You're not bringing something to sell to that advertiser. You are bringing them along as a partner. So you're going to sit down with them and say, what do we want to help our community do or know about? What's your focus? What's your passion? You know, what are some of the things that your business cares about? What do our audiences care about? Then you start to build a plan with them. You know, is that sustainability? You know, are we talking about food scarcity? You know, what are important issues that our editorial teams want to cover and maybe don't have the staff or the time to cover? well, let's go find a business partner who's going to help us fund that, somebody who's going to help support it, because their focus is the same thing. They want to see the same things in the community. That's when you start getting some really interesting projects going. So it's business led, it's business supported, but certainly, you know, it's paid for by an organization. So it's a little different than philanthropy, but it's sort of in the same roots.
Yeah, I think it's the same house, at least.
It's the same house, right.
A different room down the hall, but it's fine.
It's the same concept, right? Like, who's going to support the journalism? Like, does it need to be it could be a foundation, but it could also be a business. We do projects with Deloitte and Wells Fargo and AARP and others. It can be those types of businesses.
Right, right. And I think that, you know, you said it too, for those that came up on the editorial side like me and have trouble, or as my friend tells me, it just gets me past my own mental blockers.
That's right. I'm editorial side too, so I get it. It's like the sales thing is not in my not in my blood, right? It's
right. But that's another thing, much like getting used to, you know, blending the two sides of the wall. Maybe we'll start doing a better job of training people like us to understand and embrace the business aspect of it as well.
Yes.
Instead of waiting till, you know, we're older and desperate.
That's right. No, then it's more about like, what kinds of projects do you want to do? And not so much like, I need to go sell my widget. It's different.
Exactly. Well, as we wrap up here, I am curious, what are some projects you've got coming up? Maybe some groups or new labs, or what are some things you're excited about?
So I'm always excited about all the different calls that we have for the Branded Content Project. That's the first thing I always have to talk about. You know, we've been doing it for 5 years. You know, we've got a couple of new workshop types of programs coming out. And then we have monthly calls. You know, we're doing one next week in the next couple of weeks where we're talking specifically about products that are available. So, you know, brandedcontentproject.com is a place to go if you want any sort of resources, case studies, research, you want to get part of those calls, you want to get your branded buzz email newsletter every week. That's the big thing, is get involved there first, because that's easy, it's free, and we want everybody involved. You know, the other thing is, you know, really visiting LMA's website too. So localmedia.org. That's where we announce any type of new lab, new funding, new opportunities are available. We have conferences. We just finished one down in Austin that was very AI focused. You know, how do we help educate folks in all these areas? So those are two ways for sure to tell people to get involved. You know, there's the AI space is interesting. I would say one of the things that I'm very excited about, I'm starting to see some movement with media companies people should watch out for is obviously some projects around first party data past mm-hmm. the point of collecting it. Like, how are we going to use it is what we're starting to see, is how do we monetize it? So keep an eye out for those types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay on top of it. But I love actually that you're, you know, really what you're telling people is just go join some of these groups, get involved, yes. talk to people, see what other people are doing, share your ideas, and something magical is going to happen.
That's right. Right. There's unicorns out there. Go watch for the unicorns. They're hiding out there. You can do it too.
I mean, that'll be the new podcast, or change our name to Unicorns Are Real.
Yes, I think full transparency. I'm writing a blog post right now that says unicorns are real. I'm not even lying.
And is it actually the, you know, the birthplace of ice cream?
That's right.
As that person once told us.
There you go.
Well, hey, if people want to know more, I know you just said a couple of websites, but if people want to follow along with you or LMA, how can they connect? How can they follow?
Yeah, definitely those two websites I mentioned. You know, find me on LinkedIn, because we're pretty active on LinkedIn. I would say that's where we're posting opportunities first. It's finding LMA on LinkedIn, finding Branded Content Project LinkedIn, find me on LinkedIn, because we make sure that we're following each other, and I'll make sure you guys find out about all the information and opportunities that are out there. And then just visit the websites, come to a conference. You know, conferences are old and they're very cool again, right? So we took a little break during COVID, and now we're back.
I think people have missed them.
I think they did too. Yeah.
I think people have missed them. And we do this so often now where we talk to anybody anywhere in the world over video that it's become kind of old hat and part of our normal process, that I think just the old school, let's get together at a conference, share ideas, catch up. Unicorns happen again.
That's right. It does. Unicorns are back. Transformers are back. They're all back.
That's right. Okay. So here's the last one. Your favorite Transformer.
Optimus Prime, right?
There you go.
It's the only one I thought.
What's wrong with that answer? I mean, I can't fault you.
It's a solid one. Everyone will recognize it. We got to go with that one.
There you go. Well, Julia, thank you so much. I appreciate your time and your conversation on these today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been great to be here, so appreciate it.
All right. Well, that will wrap us up for this episode. We'll talk to everybody next time.
All right. Talk soon.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.